Craig Stevens here. Welcome to your home group. And guess what? We are live tonight. Last week, Ronnie Levy was with us, and we were talking. We can hear you guys laughing over there. We were talking. Cynthia is with us, in case you didn't know. I'll start again in a second. We are live. Cynthia, we're back.
We're back.
We had a great time with Ronnie Levy, though, talking about Hanukkah and Israel and things. Let me just introduce everybody, then I'll come back to my part.
Sorry.
My wife, Michelle, is right beside me. Cynthia, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And then want to introduce you to two new wonderful people that I want you to meet. If you're from Eagle Mountain International Church, you already know them. It's Quest and Lauren Gatlin.
Yay.
Welcome.
Yes, sir.
To home group.
Thanks for having us.
And you are
the
youth pastor.
Youth pastor at Eagle Mountain International Church.
Okay, let me tell you how this works because you've already seen it in in action.
Yeah.
Home group is where we just talk about things in the spirit of faith.
Yeah.
Usually a topic that you have sent in, and we just jump in there. So if you have something, just jump in. All right. Mm-hmm. You want something you want to share, Lauren? You may have to just elbow.
Yes.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
him. You're way in today. So I'm just so grateful for you that you're here. This is a real honor to have you here. It's about time.
That's right.
Amen. Okay, where was I? Oh, good evening. Welcome to your home group.
You did it again?
It's the Christmas season. So how, they're doing it again. How do I stay joyful during this most wonderful time of the year? We're all familiar with that cartoon, The Grinch. Have you run into any Grinches this Christmas season? I know some people who work in retail, and we'll show you a few comments from a few of them in a moment, who hate to work on Sundays. They hate to work during this holiday season because all the people that come in seem to all be cut out of the Grinch cloth. We're going to discuss that further. But first, let me tell you, we are live tonight. I'm glad we are live. So you can text your questions. Those of you who are watching us, welcome. Those of you watching us on Victory Channel, if you have questions, please text them 682-302-1301. Boy, he said that fast. 682-302-1301 or ask home group at govictory.com. I have the iPad right here in front of me, and I will get your responses as they come in. And if you're on Facebook, just type it in right there immediately, and we're talking about it. Okay, so we ask you for show ideas that you wanted to talk about. Tonight is one of them.
Interesting.
And it's about rudeness.
Mm.
How do I exhibit the fruit of the Spirit? How do I do this in a world that seems to be so rude? Have you dealt with... Now, you're from where? New York?
I'm from...
You've never dealt with anybody that's rude in New York,
have you? I could write you a book.
Yes, you could. Los Angeles?
Yeah, we're from Los Angeles, California.
Both of you?
Rude there. It's unbelievably sweet. People are... Jesus. Incredibly kind.
This is the elbow part.
There it goes.
No,
it didn't take long, did it?
There's rude people everywhere, you know, wherever there are.
How do you deal
humans,
with it? When somebody's rude with you, how do you deal with it?
I think, to tell you the truth, Craig, I think it's about you. And here's what I mean. I think that the word tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, but freedom also can equal unity. I think that you have your own conviction, you have your own way that you should know how to handle a situation. And you know, we were kind of talking before the show, Greg, about how to handle as a believer, as a Christian, how to handle people who are rude in every walk of life. There are rude Christians. There are rude non-Christians alike. And the truth is that you
there
and
can't
I
can't be rude
there,
Christians.
There cannot be rude Christians.
Oh,
here's the truth.
Shouldn't be.
There shouldn't
there
be.
There shouldn't be.
People are people, though, aren't they?
People are people.
Yeah.
People are
They're
people.
Still in the flesh.
They're still in the flesh. I think everybody has to combat that.
Yeah.
And we have the opportunity.
So, is this a thing? What's rude to me may not be rude to you?
I think
it is. Is it a cultural deal?
I think it can be cultural.
It can be, but there's a point where it's just downright rude. I don't care what culture you're from.
That's interesting. Because, Greg, you just said something that was so rude to me. And you may go, well, Quest, I didn't mean it that
right.
way at all.
Right.
And then Lauren may have gone, Quest, what are you talking about? Greg was totally cool about how he said that. At the same time, again, I go right back to my B-I-B-L-E. And this really is your basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Well,
you know?
I don't think you know what people's filters are either. People are going to filter words.
That's right.
They're going to filter experience. And I think the holidays sometimes bring out experiences for people, and they may not know how to handle that, or what the memory of it, or it's like a knee-jerk reaction. And so I think out of them comes those emotions, and then it's just rude.
There's a lot of unintentional rudeness,
too. Exactly.
Yeah. And it's not just with your words. It's with your actions.
That is
and
so
just,
good.
You know, not carrying a smile. Like, I remember in high school, I was just walking from class to class, and people were like, in California, why are you always mad-dogging me?
Mad dogging,
yes, it is. But like, I was just super focused. And then after high school, when I'm maturing, I'm just like, okay, I think I need to be aware of that more.
Be aware of how you may come off to other people.
Yeah.
I think going back to what you just said a second ago, where people aren't always aware, you're not always aware you're being rude. Mm. And I think it is self-evaluating, you know.
So deal with me and then everything else. You know, there's a scripture. Yeah. I was thinking about this. And Paul writes to Timothy and he says, in the last days, perilous or hard times will come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say you can't confess this away. He says, perilous or hard times will come because men will be selfish, lovers of self.
Yeah,
number
that's
one,
right.
Selfish. And selfishness is defined as if I withhold what I have the ability to give.
Right.
If I have the ability to be nice to somebody I choose not to, I just open the door to hard times.
Right.
If I have the ability to smile, like you just said, and I withhold that, or let somebody else go in front of me, and I withhold what I have the ability to give, I just became selfish.
What
is that right?
Yes, it is. What you're doing is you're yielding to your flesh.
Wow. Yeah. We're going to jump in there.
I just thought, you know, when you said that, I was thinking of, you don't know who you're being rude to.
Wow.
You don't know if they're a believer.
Yeah.
If they are, you're not being a very good, you know, example of Jesus.
There should be evidence of who's living on the inside of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're, you know, Galatians chapter 5, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. I know we'll talk about that more.
But dude, I'm tired. I don't feel like.
That's not an excuse.
You know, Jesus didn't feel like dying on the cross either.
That's true.
To carry the weight of it. And so I think if I don't feel like smiling at my Starbucks barista, I think I need to self-evaluate.
That's all the reason you should.
And it's all the more reason why you should. And it's at the end of the day, I want to be a living example. I'm not perfect, but I think if we're intentional throughout the day, man, how am I coming off to people? But here's the difference too, not to derail, but when you're intentional about being a blessing, when you're intentional about being positive, being sweet to people, it's amazing the way it shatters barriers.
Because you're sowing that, aren't you?
Yeah.
You are sowing.
You are.
And you can turn a very bad situation around.
Yes. How?
I had a situation, and it was actually at a Christian meeting. And what happened was, it was more people came than we thought were going to be there. And it got very tight in the room. And some people couldn't get in, and they were very upset. And one guy comes out, and I was helping with registration, and he just demanded. And I said, well, I understand that. And then what we can do is we're going to give you this CD for free. You'll get the whole service for free. And he still wasn't happy. He wanted to see someone else. So I handed it, because I was volunteering, and I was handling it. And I thought, well, let me give it to the person. And I did, and it was the wrong thing, because that person went like, yeah. I was like, oh, no, no, oh, no. Yeah. I almost fixed this. Mm-hmm. And so you have to understand that people get upset. I've worked banking. Uh-huh. I've worked retail. Now, in banking, I have closed the window on someone. I did. I said, you cannot talk to my teller that way, and I shut the window. Now, you want to get it together, I'll open the window and I'll help you. But you're not going to scream at people.
Sure.
That way, I've had it with retail. Retail can be, you could almost not like Christmas if you work retail.
Most of them don't.
Sure.
Christmas.
Yeah. I can imagine
You can absolutely get to the point where you're like, you don't even want December 26th to come because they're back with what they didn't like, but that somebody bought them. Mm-hmm. So you have to learn how to just keep smiling and say, well, you know, let me put this in a bag for you.
Because the customer's always right. Is that?
They ain't always right. No, they're not always right, but you have to get past
that.
Them.
I was in a store
where it was like, yeah, pretty much they were right about everything. They could bring something back that you know that was in their basement. It's about molded, and we would take it back. So you had to learn how to do that. But I've also been in situations where someone has asked for prayer, and you're praying with them, and they're mad about what you're praying. I remember so distinctly praying in Colossians, and I got to the word patience. The person said, no, I haven't had enough patience.
I am all run out of patience.
So you're there, you're going like,
prove it to me, lady. Okay.
Okay. So all you can do is go, in Jesus' name, amen.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
So we're taking your questions, your comments. We're talking about dealing with Grinches and rude people during the holiday season. We'll start talking about the fruit of the Spirit more in just a moment. There's the instructions on the bottom of the screen on how you can get a hold of us. You can, if you're on Facebook, just type the question in. Otherwise, text it to 682-302-1301 or go ask homegroup at govictory.com. Okay. Right here at the ministry, we have Kenneth Copeland Bible College. And many of those students, here's the fun part. They work retail, and they're waiters and waitresses around here. And I've warned the church people. I said, listen, some of these people that are serving you are Bible college students. You better remember that. So we asked a few of them about how they handle it, what their work experience has been like. I want to take you to clip number one. And this is Josh. And Josh is explaining, he's worked in several restaurants, and his experience is always about there's some form of miscommunication about what's being communicated. Here's one of our Bible college students, Josh. Watch this.
My name's Josh. I'm from New Jersey originally. And I've worked in tons of restaurants. And a few experiences that I've had that seem to be the generality is miscommunication when it comes to what's being expressed and what's expected. And long story short, just a few stories are basically going along the lines of the customer says something that they would like, and because we're not on the same page, the communication falls apart and the service to them falls apart, and they become agitated and rude. And I have to remember that even though they're being rude, I have no right to be rude back. And my first job is to serve them and to take care of them, regardless of how they treat me.
So that part about being a servant, that's really what we are, isn't it?
That's
as
right.
As believers.
Yeah.
It sure is.
Mm-hmm.
So if I treat you the way I would want to be treated, wait, isn't that biblical? Wait, what is that?
Yeah, yes. I'm pretty
wait,
sure
how
that's
how does
Bible.
That go? Somebody help that. Me with that.
I'm pretty sure that's Bible.
Wait, 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 others. What is it?
Treat
what?
Others the way you would want to be treated.
Wow.
Do unto others as you'd have them do there it.
I love what you posted the other day. Or was
yeah,
it
that's why I've been like studying.
You're not so important that you can't be nice to people. You're not so important.
Mm-hmm. You posted that.
That you can't smile at somebody and greet them on the way
so
out.
So what did you get? What were the responses to your post?
You know,
a lot of shares and amens.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when people think they're tweeting, they're actually playing Angry Birds. They're not tweeting.
Ooh,
they're fighting.
Yes.
They're farming little bombs over at people.
Uh-huh.
We need to quit doing that.
That's right.
And just
well, see, social media has opened
zingers.
That up.
Do you think so?
No, so
really?
Social media has opened it up because you don't have to face the person.
What was right, it always? Okay,
saying.
Here's
that's
the deal. Right. Was it always that way, and we just didn't know it, or is it heightened?
I don't think it was always that way because you. If I was going to say something bad to you, I know that you're right here, and we can have some kind of reaction or altercation. Now I'm behind the screen and I can go ahead and I can write in anything I want. Nobody knows where I am or who I am because you can put any name on there. So you can say all kinds of things. And that's what you get now is that people just, they say whatever is coming up to them because there's no accountability. There's nobody that's going to say, what did you just say to me? And then it becomes this whole big thing on this. This is what social media has also opened up, that people just throw out stuff, say anything. Then that translates into every day because now you see somebody, you're so used to saying whatever you want to say on social media, you'll go say whatever you want to say to the person.
Yeah.
And forgetting that, oh, wait a minute, you're not behind your phone.
It's funny, people will take, it's trendy to post pictures and put hashtag no filter. I wish people, when they posted a statement, would say hashtag no filter. The truth is most people are very bold behind a keyboard.
So explain what that means to people that don't know what hashtag no filter means. What does that mean?
Well, if you haven't seen it, it's, you know, people, for example, let's go back to that picture. Somebody would post a picture and it would say
like a beautiful sunset.
You know, a beautiful sunset. Yeah. Hashtag no filter. In other words, I didn't modify this. Yeah. I didn't salt and pepper this. I didn't put any lipstick on this. No filter. Mm-hmm. The truth is,
meaning it's an original.
Meaning
picture.
Meaning this is an original. It's raw. Yeah, okay. It's an authentic. But people are doing that with their words, just the way you articulated. Yeah. And I guess the bottom. How do we counter that? You know, how do you handle that with other people?
So I just looked up when Cynthia was talking about that, and like a description on the internet that is for rudeness is not complying with what the social norm is, and I think the social norm has changed.
Yeah,
in the last, I don't know.
Ding, 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 ding.
20, 30 years, and it's statistically proven. That's like, people believe that people are more rude nowadays than 20, 30 years ago.
Do you think people aren't as personal as they used to be? Personable as they used to be?
They're not, because you don't have to be.
Well, there's no social skills.
And you can order online. You don't have to face people.
That's right.
We don't teach we're not teaching them how to be social. Yeah. What is right to say, what is appropriate, what is not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And there's no boundaries anymore.
So that touches home life.
Yes.
And like, so we try to do this, and we're not perfect at this, but Michelle and I try to do this. Let's talk to the people that are at the dinner table with you, not to the people that are around the world when we're doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're not always perfect at it. But, you know, I mean, because I've watched families text each other.
It was so good to spend
text
time
each other
with you
at the restaurant.
Other people. Yeah.
And I'm like, they're right there.
That's right. Yeah.
But they'll text each other
problem.
Because they want to say something about something else that they don't want this one to know.
What you're doing
is I tell her.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're doing is you're escaping your present situation.
That's good.
You're finding a different window to look out of when you're supposed to be enjoying the company of the people that you're with.
Yeah.
We're all guilty of it.
Yeah,
yes. But I need to close the shades and enjoy being in this room together with you and not finding a new window to look out of while I'm supposed to spend time with
Technically, though, wouldn't that constitute as being rude?
Absolutely.
So that's part of rudeness.
It's saying that I treasure someone I don't know behind their screen.
Well, you know why? Because here's the deal. This has become, this is our identity.
Yeah.
And the reason why is our photos are on it and everything. This is who we are.
You lose that or somebody steals it, you don't know.
You want to discipline a child, take the phone or this thing away.
It's like an appendage.
Ask me how I know.
I mean, it's a war. It's like you've wounded them.
Mm-hmm. No, you took an appendage.
Their life ended.
Yeah. It's an appendage.
And we didn't have this. I mean,
no.
You know, okay, several of these, your comments and questions are coming in, and we do value you, and you are part of this. And listen, let us know what topics you'd like us to cover in the next year, in 2020. 2020.
Can you believe that?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here's one, works in a dental office, and the week, you were trained as a dental hygienist. The week before Christmas allows me to practice the fruit of the spirit, patience, and self-control like no other.
Yep.
Well, now, listen, to the defense of those people.
Well.
Who was the worst patient you ever had?
Oh, it was you. Yes. You were my worst patient.
I mean, I know that. And I'd say, that hurts.
And look at his teeth now. They're beautiful.
No, it's comical. But it is, I think it's the pressure of the holidays. Everything's got to get done. Mm-hmm. There's so much to do. And I don't have time to sit here for an hour and get my teeth cleaned. So, or whatever.
Are you done yet?
Yeah. I got to go.
But there is a pressure with the holidays. There's such a pressure. When I lived in St. Thomas, I remember talking to a cruise director. They hated the two cruises, the Christmas and the New Year's cruise. Hated it. They said they were the worst. Yes, they said it was. You would think it's going to be a fun cruise because you're
right.
But he said it was all people who didn't get along with family or didn't have family, and they were miserable. So they took a cruise, and he said he could not stand those 2 weeks of cruises. He said because the people were just they were just rude, and I would think, wow. I would thought it would have been nice, but that's what it was.
Makes me sad.
And then I once worked a prayer line, and the people that call anywhere from November right before Thanksgiving down to December, I don't have the money for my kids' toys, and it's this horrible, horrible pressure. Mm-hmm. So they're angry.
Yeah.
They're asking for prayer, but they're fussing with you, And you can't hardly get, because they're so upset that they can't do this, that, or it's a family issue. And when the family gets together, all of this stuff happens because his side of the family and her side of the family. And it's all this stuff. And we get so far out of that. We don't even know how to relax and just chill.
No,
just chill.
All right, let me play another one of our Kenneth Copeland Bible College students. Listen, if you're interested in attending Kenneth Copeland Bible College, they're taking students now. They're taking applications now, and you can give information kcbiblecollege.org. kcbiblecollege.org. Write it down. It'll change your life. All right, Judy works at a famous seafood place, and she noticed her manager needed some help, so she went to help her manager. Now, I think this is a stress situation here. Went to help, see if her manager needed some help. She got, was she trying to help the manager? The manager ends up throwing food. Watch this. Just let her tell it. Here it comes. Judy.
My name is Judy Ann. I'm from New Braunfels, and I work at Red Lobster as a server. There was this one day that we were really busy, and my manager was managing the window, and she was pulling out the food, and she was asking people to take the food to the tables. You know, we're supposed to help each other, whether it's your table or not, you take the food out. Well, nobody was doing it. And so she was getting really frustrated. She used to be in the Navy, and so she starts yelling at us like crazy. And I try to be nice, and I was like, I can run this food. And I called her so I can get the food, and she just turns around and throws the food at me. My manager threw food at me because I was trying to help.
Well, there's nothing like wearing shrimp or yes or
yeah. I said no onions.
Yeah. Well, you know, so we laugh about these things. We're talking about these. We've got many questions and comments coming in, and I'm so grateful. Please keep those coming. The information will be on the screen periodically, how you can be part of this program, tonight's program. And we're answering this, not that we're experts, but in the spirit of faith. And we're going to get to some of the answers in just a moment on it. But here's a couple of things. Christy, my question is, what about the lack of respect? Is it a lack of respect?
Yeah.
Yes.
The rudeness.
Mm-hmm. That is like the definition of rudeness.
Is it?
Yeah, I totally looked it up.
Oh, you looked it up.
I did.
It pretty much is.
Yeah. Yep. Lack of manners, discourtesy, I can say it. Sharpness, disrespect. There you go. Disrespect.
So that is the very definition of rudeness. It's just, there you go, Christy. It's the very definition of rudeness. Is disrespect. You're disrespecting someone.
Yes.
And I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier. It starts in the home. It starts with the manners that we have to teach our children.
It really does.
And getting them out from the screens.
That's right.
And how to interact with people. Mm-hmm. They're not interacting in a one-on-one way.
Right.
That's
not. They do not have to know how to face-to-face talk. So they talk behind a screen.
Yeah.
And anything goes that way. It doesn't go this way. You know why? Because you're going to give me a look.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's going to be like, that's not good.
That's not going to work.
Or you're going to stop me right then. So it doesn't go too far.
Right.
And so we're not teaching that.
No. And you can see it.
But
when you
wait
go
a
out
minute. We got those little faces. You can put those little emoji faces, angry face.
That cures all.
There. We did that with the kids.
Yeah, that'll fix it.
Huh? That fixes it. You know my face is angry.
Follow a rude statement with a great emoji. And you're good. It reminds me, though, you know what, though? Our son, our oldest son, Justice, he'll say something, he'll do something, and Lauren will look over, or I'll look over, and I go, oh, my goodness. That boy looks and sounds just like his daddy. And what
funny how that works.
It's funny how that works. But do you know that when you're rude to your wife, or when you're cutting off your spouse, or when you talk to another sibling rudely, you we talked about being intentional about how we're being examples. You know, Ephesians tells us, therefore be imitators of God. Yeah. My son is imitating his father.
Wow. And we shouldn't we then? We should look like our father. We should sound like him, shouldn't we?
That's right.
So how do I do that? How do I do that in this world, in this situation?
I think it's being intentional. Not to oversimplify it.
The word tells us. I mean, the fruits of the Spirit, that's what it is. And like Pastor George was saying, like, God is love, so am I. So be an example, speak in, look like, sound like love.
But does intentionality mean time?
It does.
Like, my intention is to take time with my children and each one of them individually and spent, I want to talk to you face to face. I want to have dinner with you. And that intentionality then builds that social skills. It builds, you can feel like the presence of somebody and how they're engaging in that conversation or how they're not.
Okay. So Annette asked this. Annette, here's your question. How do I know, how much am I supposed to take off of somebody? How do I know?
Say,
what do you mean?
Well, how much am I supposed to take off of
the rudeness? Where's the line?
You can establish the line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can say, that's rude and I don't appreciate it.
As a Christian, we walk in love, but you don't have to be disrespected.
Right. Walking in love doesn't mean trouble.
So now how do I walk in love and not be disrespected?
Because you make it plain that I don't appreciate that. That's not right.
Okay, give me an example. If you got an example.
Let's say you're sitting at a table and you have a rude waiter. See, we often think that, which often happens.
The customers are rude, you have a rude waiter.
The customer is usually rude. I've had rude waiters. Mm-hmm. But, just an example of how do you respond to a rude waiter.
So give me an example of a rude waiter.
Here's what I do, and this is just Quest Gatlin in his rawest form, okay?
Unfiltered or whatever.
Unfiltered.
Yes,
no filter, Quest Gatlin.
But here's the thing.
Here it comes.
I am naturally, but I also appreciate ice breaking. You can break... There can be ice breaking with rudeness. You know, I've had rude waiters that were just, I didn't give them I'm smiling. I got a wad. I'm ready to tip this guy, right? I'm like, I'm here. Like, I'm ready to eat, take care of you, get my family and go. And sometimes you deal with rude people. I had a rude waiter once. And the way I was able to break the ice, and it may not work for everybody, but I gave it a shot. Was being kind, trying to be funny, not trying to demean them, but just trying to be light.
One of his things is when we go somewhere and the person's kind of like, it's like, well, you're making money and I'm spending it. You know, look at the bright side of it. He cracks a joke, and I've watched.
I keep it
melt
light.
Off of people, and they smile or laugh.
How are you doing, man? You know, well, I'm doing good. You know, it's a Saturday. They're working. You're having a good time with you. So maybe they feel a little left out. You got to remember the viewpoint that you mentioned.
Yeah. Right.
People are thinking and feeling, and I'm not always aware of that. Mm-hmm. But being intentional on not only how I look and appear to people, but also be observant of a person as well. And when I have a waiter, one of the first things I do, no joke, I study him for just a second. I want to be a blessing to people.
Yes.
And I want my life to exude joy and I want to come into a room and people go, he's back. You know, it's life.
You want to be that guy at work that everybody's sad when you're not there.
Yeah, we miss you.
They don't throw a party when you're on vacation.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. You want to be like me.
There's something missing. I just want to be like, be therefore imitators of Cynthia.
That's what. Because, everybody misses me when I'm gone.
That's right.
We do miss you.
We do miss you. You're
intentional.
Let me play a clip for you right now. This is Gloria Copeland talking about being patient and kind, not mad or resentful. Watch this.
All right, love endures long and is patient and kind. So if you're patient and kind when somebody mistreats you, it just flies right off of you. It doesn't bother you. You just forgive them, go right on. Why? Because you're working on something here. You're wanting to walk with God. You're wanting the power of God in your life. You're wanting to be well and stay well and prosperous. It's not worth messing up your prosperity to get mad and to try to get even and to be resentful.
Okay, wait a minute. What are you doing?
Let me preach.
You're over here shouting.
Give me a pulpit.
She's talking there, and you're over there shouting.
He's fitting in very well.
I am not going to let a rude person or allow myself to fall into the temptation of acting out. Listen, people will react, or you can respond to
That's
a
right.
situation.
Okay,
wait
right.
a minute.
There you go.
And we too, often.
Delve into that. Dive into that. Well, what is that? What's the difference?
Here's what it is. Somebody give me a pulpit, please. Please. No, but here's the thing. When you're in your flesh, you react. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the first thing you do. Instead of just taking a minute to be a mature believer, and I know we're all in process, so I acknowledge that, but to be a mature believer and just calm down and respond. There's a difference between reaction and response.
Yes, there is.
Response is strategic. Response is mature. Response is Jesus. Mm-hmm. Reaction is flesh. Reaction. My two-year-old reacts.
Right.
I respond.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly right.
Amen.
Amen.
No, yes.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't want it to hinder my faith either.
You don't want it to block your blessing.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
You're believing God for things, and then you're going to turn around and you're going to react.
That's right.
Not worth it.
You're reacting is childish.
That's right.
It's immature. Those are the same things. Two same words for
sure,
the same thing.
Sure.
But that's what it is.
Sure.
Because now you have let the devil possess you.
Yep. Yeah.
And cause you to go ahead and react to things when you could have responded.
You don't really mean possess you. You mean yielded to.
Okay, I don't mean like jump in and be, not that.
Your head's spinning around.
Yeah, the little, you know, not exorcism, okay. No. But you've let
just want to clarify because I've got the question.
Yeah, because people start asking questions.
Did she say possession?
Yeah, did she just say that? Luke 21:19 says, by your patience possess your souls. You have to stay patient even when people are acting the fool towards you.
You possess your soul.
By patience, I possess my soul.
Get control.
You get control. And it can be a real serious thing, and it could be a legitimate thing. And you could be like, I've had it up to here. Yeah. But then you don't go and spill over because now you're the one that's wrong.
It's taking care of, it's taking control of you. But if you're a waiter, or in this situation, it's taking control of your table. It's taking control of your job. It's taking control, pastor, it's taking control of your church.
Instead of hollering at
That's right.
And here's the thing. I mean,
What? Where'd that come from? What?
I didn't even know.
All right, go ahead, Lauren.
When she was talking about that, I mean, we have all the patience that God gave us. He gave us all the same amount. And people are like, let me pray for patience. I'm like, he's already given that to you.
Look.
When you were born again, he gave that to you. You just have to work on it. And it's going to take some time. The more kids I had, the more patient I got.
Honestly, look, it's Christmas time. And what we don't realize is so many of these fruits of the Spirit are really gifts for us to operate in. And I don't know about you, but I don't leave one gift under the tree. I don't unwrap three and go, you know what, there's two more under there. I'm good.
I don't want
that. I make sure that I want to maximize everything that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me to have and operate in.
And they all hang on one, don't they?
That's right.
They all hang on love.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. They all hang on.
Well, that's the first ingredient.
Do you have the scripture of the fruit of the Spirit?
Galatians 5:22.
Read it for us.
But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, which means gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, and faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I'm going to play a clip right now of Gloria Copeland and Kelly Copeland. This is clip two. The fruit of the Spirit is inside of us right now. Yes. If you're a born-again believer, fruit of the Spirit is in you. It causes us to experience the explosive power of Jesus' resurrection working in us. And until you let the fruit of the Spirit come out from inside you, it's not really fruit yet. Watch this.
Mm-hmm. It says, by his faith, I will fully experience oneness with Jesus. I love this. And the explosive power of his resurrection working in me. When you start living in oneness with Jesus, his resurrection power begins to explode. What does it mean to explode? Come out of its box, come out of its shell, come out of its place in your heart, and come out here. And what does that describe? It describes fruit. You know, fruit is out here. We call it the fruit of the Spirit, because it's the outgo of having his Spirit inside of us. But until you let that come out, it's really not fruit yet. If you're not walking in it, it's just inside the tree.
Wow. So the fruit, that's true. The fruit is out on the branches.
It's evidence.
Verse 24 says this, and I didn't get to all of it, but it's 22 and 23 is the fruit. And then 24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. You have to crucify that flesh and to let the fruit come.
Not your spirit.
No, the flesh.
The problem with being a living sacrifice is you never want to stay on the altar.
Mm. That's right.
A living sacrifice wants to crawl off that altar all the time.
That's right.
Anyway, taking your questions and comments. Funny. Information will be there on the screen as well. We want to hear more of your comments and questions on this. 682-302-1301. Facebook, just go ahead and type it in right there. Says this, we're talking about what you said a while ago. The joy of the Lord, this was a text, says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I've learned to never allow anyone to kill my spirit. I believe more now than ever that you start the day in the Word and it align your spirit.
Amen.
They can't kill what you don't release.
That's right.
Okay, now so here's twice. One. Here's one, Larry. Larry, I understand why this happens to you. I've had so many rude people come at me on social media because of my Trump stance, including my relatives. That's the environment we live in right now.
That is the environment. And see how that has changed even from when I was a kid.
Yes.
When I was a kid, people disagreed then. Mm-hmm. But nobody put it out there. Mm-hmm. You didn't talk about that. You didn't even tell people who you were voting
for. That's right.
Nobody talked about it. People went to the polls. They did what they did. And whoever became president at that time, you respected the office. Whether you liked the president or not, that didn't come out like it does now. You respected the office. And there's the rudeness, the lack of respect, the lack of honor.
Wow.
We don't honor offices anymore like we used to. We don't honor the judge or the policeman or the fireman. I remember being in school and singing some song about the policeman, the fireman, because they were trying to teach us to honor those positions. And yes, some people abused their positions, but not everybody. Mm-hmm. And we got to the place even in my life, you know, we went from I was not alive in World War II, but I was born 10 years after the war ended. So by the time we came up into the 60s, which is a very volatile decade, very volatile decade, but we had lost that respect. We didn't even respect our soldiers. We were terrible as a country to our own soldiers that had gone off. We weren't nice to them when they came back.
And they didn't choose to go, most of them. They were drafted.
Nobody chose, because if you were drafted or even if you enlisted, you didn't enlist and say, hey, I want to enlist and go to a war. You enlisted because the Army or the Navy or whoever was offering something.
Now, that
something.
Has, to our that credit, is, that's gotten better.
Yes, and that has changed.
But to
now.
Police, it hadn't.
No, to police, so. It's turned the other way. It's turned the other way, and it's to the point where a policeman just the other day ordered a sandwich at I don't know if it was a deli or where he ordered a sandwich, and there was a razor blade in it, so he's got his mouth cut up. Why? Because you don't like cops? Are you kidding? And you would go and do that to, you don't know that particular person. How dare you do something like that?
Oh, you'll call them and you're in trouble, won't you?
Yes, the same store would call them if they were being robbed. So we've gotten to that place where it doesn't matter what we say.
We really need to let our light shine, don't we?
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Yes, we have to let our light shine.
Because as the word, and what we're painting here, it's a little dark.
Yeah.
But as the world gets darker, we should be brighter.
We should get brighter. Yeah.
And you will.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah,
and
but
be
I
joyful.
Try to be sweet to everybody. I mean, I'm always fun and laughing. but that's what you should be.
Yeah.
Let's break down that horrible stance that everybody has by just telling them something nice, holding the door. Mm-hmm. I held the door open for a guy today.
Okay, so we talk about joy to the world. What does that mean? Joy to the world. You know,
joy is a force. It's not happiness. It's a force. It's a force like faith. It's a force like righteousness. It's out of the spirit, joy.
Wow. Well, I want to play a clip for you. It's from Pastor George Pearson's, the senior pastor of Eagle Mountain International Church. And it is talking about enjoy joy. Joy must be exercised. It's one of the forces of the recreated human spirit. Don't underestimate, he says, the strength of joy.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about laughing, we're not just talking about something giddy. We're talking about a spiritual movement that takes place. We're talking about something that changes you. Joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a product of the Spirit. But it must be exercised in the same way that love is exercised. Patience is exercise. You have to exercise that joy muscle. The joy muscle that you have has to be developed. Maybe the love muscle is something that you've been developing. But there's spiritual muscles that have to be developed, and joy is one of them. Joy is one of those muscles that has to be developed. Joy is one of the forces of the recreated human spirit. Joy, and this is the title of the message, joy is our secret weapon. It is a secret weapon, and do not underestimate it. Do not underestimate the joy of the Lord. It is your strength. It will heal your body. It will bring peace to your mind. It will change the way you think. And it'll bring you in line with what the Word of God says to you. What are you doing? You're exercising that joy muscle. And as we just read in Habakkuk 3, it is an act of faith. Habakkuk was acting by faith, even though this is going wrong. I mean, you fill in the blanks there. Even though that's happening and that's happening and that's happening, the key words are, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Now, it's easy when you watch Jesse and you listen to him tell a story like that. But when you're facing something, something serious, there's an act that has to be taken by faith. It's called a faith laugh. And to get yourself over into a place of a position of authority in joy. In joy.
He's talking about being purposeful.
That's right.
Really, isn't he? In all this. I'm going to be purposeful in love and in joy.
Yeah.
And all these things. Just go be the happiest person at the mall.
Amen.
One of the words he uses, though, is exercise. Who likes to exercise? Like
your joy muscle.
Right, but you have to exercise love, meaning it's going to take work. You're going to have to set aside your feelings. You're going to have to set aside your flesh to exercise that of the Spirit. And so whether it's love or joy or peace, you have to exercise it. It is intentional, right?
Yeah.
You go into praise. Because this is something the Lord said to me, and I wrote it down because it's like key. If you wrap yourself in praise, the circumstances can't wrap itself around you.
How do you wrap myself in praise?
By getting up in the morning. Psalm 34, bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Find the praises in Psalms. Start learning them. If you get up and you determine, I'm going to praise God in this morning, this situation, when you hit up on whatever it is in that day, you've already put praise ahead of you. Remember, the singers went ahead with praise and destroyed a whole army.
The band went first.
The band went first. But that praise will change things. There's something called a praise cure.
Garment
praise. That praise will cure a lot of things so that when people are nasty and rude to you, you won't even notice it because you've been practicing praise all day. That way the joy of the Lord can come up, and the joy of the Lord is your strength.
That's good. That's so good.
I kind of thought so.
Just grow, I choose today to grow in love and to build that. Pastor George was talking about building that muscle. And I'm intentional about it. And that way, I'm so full of the, sounds kind of cheesy, but I'm just going to say it. You know, I'm so full of the Spirit and being intentional. I don't know why that word just keeps coming up. But just making.
Because it's real.
Because it's real. And it's just making the decision that when I go into the mall today, when I'm dropping off dry cleaning, when I'm conversing with my child's teeth, whatever it is, I'm going to make the decision. Listen, I like something Dr. Mark Barclay says. Okay, he says, if you can be offended, you will be offended. So make the decision, I can't be offended. And I'll never have to deal with it. Yeah. I'll let it go. It just ricochets right off. It's the same thing with rudeness. It's the same thing. It's just making the decision.
I know you're from Southern California.
Yeah, yeah.
We lived in San Diego for how many years?
14
years.
God's country. Yeah.
So if you've been to Disneyland, right?
Go ahead. I'm just praying in tongues.
You exercise
the Holy Ghost.
Well, I don't even want to know if that was a positive thing or a negative thing right there. But you've been to Disneyland.
Sure.
And I'm not putting anything down, but there's a couple of other theme parks in the, the area there. There's a difference.
There sure is.
Between Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm or Six Flags.
There is.
Or Universal or There's a difference.
There is. And you know what? You know what it is? It's the same difference between going into a between going into a McDonald's and going into In-N-Out. What's written on the bottom of their cups? There's a cultural difference. Organizations are more intentional with others.
More intentional. Back to your thing.
That's just it.
I noticed, I've learned this about Disney.
Yeah.
That if you get within, I don't remember how many feet of it is, with an employee, a Disney employee, they are supposed to stop whatever they're doing and greet you and look at you and say hi to you. Mm-hmm. They're required to notice you. Mm-hmm. They're required to, and so Pastor George has talked about it. He's played the game with them to just see how close he has to get before they look up and say hello.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. But they're intentional.
That's right.
About saying something to you or acknowledging you. Mm-hmm. And I think if we did that, maybe that's a starting point, especially those of you at church, my God, pastors, you walk down the hall, say something to somebody.
That's right.
Notice them. You know, just say hello. You know, hi, morning. Good morning. Or just a nod or just a something.
Something, huh?
Because it's part of it's that icebreaker thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Noticing somebody, noticing the value in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Walmart is starting to do that. I've noticed. I was in Walmart today, which if you live around here, you're in Walmart every day. But Walmart, more than one employee walked past me and said, how are you today? And it almost like took me back. How are you today? Mm-hmm. And I went, I'm good. How are you? But that's they are trying to do that. And you know, you have that at Chick-fil-A as well. It's my pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure. But because they were taught that.
That's their culture. It becomes their culture, didn't it?
They were taught you don't know what that person is dealing with.
Yeah. Intentional.
And so go ahead and go the extra mile. Be intentional.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Go the extra mile for a person.
And as Christians, how much more should we not?
Should we also?
So Virginia writes in here, says, I've had occasion to speak back when someone was rude to me. And I'd say, please forgive me. I didn't mean to offend you. And they start tripping over themselves. So she flipped it on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't she?
Yes.
It's good.
So is that a good thing to do?
Absolutely.
It works.
Yeah. And what you said a while ago, I refuse to be offended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just like I refuse pressure and stress. We hear Pastor George say it every week.
Yes, I choose instead.
Refuse pressure and stress. I choose instead to enter his rest.
Enter into rest. Because that's really the fight of faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rest. Yeah. To enter into rest.
It is.
Because we don't want to rest. We're not taught to rest. We're taught to be
what's
the energizer.
What is a good fight, Greg? A fight you win.
Okay.
On the victory side. We have this as believers. You know, we do have this. We can win this and be on that side with joy. Walk in love. Be intentional. Break the ice. Talk to people. Love on people. All the more so during this time where we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ.
I've heard you say it, Michelle, so many times to one of our children. There's one in particular. You'll say this all the time. Put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. Put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Talk to people. You can't. Playing video games in your room or whatever is not going to do it. But get out there and say hi to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to learn that.
You do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think just personality differences, too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a shy person, which I'm generally very introverted and very shy.
I am, too.
And so that can be taken as, oh, well, she's rude, right? No, I am horribly shy, but I have to push, and I've learned over the years to exercise that I need to look people in the eye and I need to say hello, and it's okay for me to say it first and get it over with.
And it
does change the relationships.
Yeah.
It changes the dynamics and how people respond to you. And now it is a comfort to do that first.
Us extroverted people have to learn.
Are you an extrovert?
We didn't know that.
Really? We have to learn how not to look at a shyer person or an introverted person and judge them. Because when I was growing up, you know, growing up in New York, well, she's stuck up. That's what we used to say.
Stuck up where?
Stuck up.
And I was shy and quiet, and I still got that they thought I was better than them or stuck up.
They think you're stuck up, but that's not what it is. It's you're just really quiet.
There's mystery
and that's
in
your way.
Silence.
And mystery in the silence. Oh, that's really
don't let people guess.
That's good. Ooh,
break the ice, man. It takes practice, though.
He's an extrovert.
I know. I'm so I'm so shy.
Quest, that's your book.
No,
that's
he's
a book.
Not. He just loves people.
He does.
I don't know if that's a difference, but.
No, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
But as we've grown in the spirit, don't you think you've changed?
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah.
So but I also watch people to be an example. He's my example.
Yes.
Thank God.
It stretches you.
Yeah.
Greg has stretched me over time. Yeah. So his personality and the way he deals with people has stretched me to do different things. Mm-hmm. And it's good.
I literally forget bad things.
This is true.
Everybody should.
That's right.
I literally, people say, Greg, I need to apologize to you for, and I'm like, I have no clue what they're talking about.
Right.
I have forgotten it totally.
That's
and
so
and
good.
I have no clue. And she might still be remembering it or whatever. And I seriously do not remember.
Yeah.
Anything that's happened. Is it?
Good problem to have there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to play another clip for you here because Brother Copeland is speaking here. He says, you have the power inside of you because the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. You have the power to forgive just as much as you have the power to heal. Watch Brother Copeland. We'll be right back.
Jesus just proved that the power to forgive and the healing power, the power to heal, are one and the same power. There's not one power that forgives and another power that heals. And that power is on the inside of you. Now, we know that's true with God. God's not holding anything against anybody. He'd be violating his own rules if he did that. He is love. He's fixed a sin problem. Amen. With the blood. Now, you have the power. It's in you. If Jesus is in there, then that power's in there because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Spirit of the living God. He is in there, so that love is in there. He is that love. He is the forgiver, the one that you have the power to forgive. You have the power to forgive. You have the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are
mighty.
Say mighty.
Mighty.
Shout it at me.
Mighty.
Say I
have
the
mighty power.
The power to forgive. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Compassion is not a feeling. Compassion is a person. Grace is a person. Healing is somebody. This Bible, that book, is not about somebody. That book is somebody.
My Lord. He says that Bible is not about.
Yeah.
So it is somebody. It's not just about somebody. It is somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's in me now.
Living in a
I have the power to forgive.
Yeah.
It's in you. You already have that. It's in you right now. I want to thank you for being part of us. Listen, we've got a few minutes left. We've still got questions coming in. I'm sorry if I didn't get to yours. We want you to continue to send them in. Also, let me know next year what topics you would like to have covered. Now, next week, there's going to be a very special program on here. So Home Group won't be on next week. It's going to be a candlelight Christmas program. And so you're going to want to make sure you see that. Ruth says this, one thing that's helped me with others' rudeness to me is a saying I heard one time. Their opinion of me isn't any of my business.
Hmm.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. I do like that.
Their
that
opinion like of me is none of my business.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But if you're representing Jesus and that they're an unsaved believer, that's a potential convert to Christ.
Yeah. Well,
whoa. Looking at everybody.
Yeah.
You're looking at people in a different.
It's a yes and no as to how you meant that. And I know what you meant by it.
Sure.
I think you have a responsibility. So it's almost like, well, however they took it ain't my problem. We don't want to do that.
Right.
Right. There's no ownership in that. There's no intention. We just threw everything we just said out the window.
You're talking about seeing people
not carrying the weight of what they think about you is also another conversation.
The other way.
Yeah.
But you're seeing people as they're not. They need Jesus. They need to grow. They need this. They need that. You're looking at them
if they are. Yeah. If they are not saved.
But so what you're not doing is you're not discounting your ability to speak in their life is what I'm trying to say.
You shouldn't, yeah.
I was trying to hear what you were saying with that.
You don't have a choice. You are a light. You are going to shine whether you like it or not. If you know, Jesus, when he cursed the fig tree, he cursed it not because of the shade of green it was, because it had no fruit. And so many people today are all leaves and no fruit. And so just going
Jesus
back to said what
this.
You said,
Jesus said this, take no offense.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
What does he mean by that? We got literally about a minute or so left.
But don't get offended at
making
stuff.
A choice.
Offended, you have to decide
offended
not
offended
to be
is when
offended.
You get offended. Offended. It just uproots you, you know.
Yeah.
You're done for.
It's not safe.
Yeah. Don't get to that point.
So how do I get back from it if I get offended? How do I get back there? How do I undo that?
You get back into joy. And you get back into praise.
Mm-hmm. Put on that garment of praise.
Yes, the garment of praise.
And it's okay if you're wrong and you know that person to apologize.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is okay.
It is
the right thing to do.
It's okay. Yeah. If you blow up and you carry on,
you
like
react,
you don't have no
respond.
Set,
yeah.
If you That's react. Right. Then you need to turn around and say, you know what? I reacted.
Yeah,
I was wrong. And I blew up like the pressure cooker that I'm...
and that turned a reaction into a response then.
Notice how we lay in bed at night and go, I should have said. Mm-hmm. Now you're strategically trying to respond. It's too late now.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's been
And that goes to letting the sun go down on your...
On your wrath.
That's right.
On your wrath.
That's right. That's right.
Boy, don't you wish that one wasn't in there sometimes? But it is. It's in there.
Yes, sir.
It's been great, guys, tonight. I want to so thank you for being part of this. Welcome.
Yeah.
You guys fit right
Thanks
in.
For having
nothing
us.
To it, right?
Thanks for having it. No,
and,
nothing to
and
it.
And so, like I said, next week we are not live. Very special Christmas programming. And then we'll be back after that with more very special. We have a very special home group Christmas program on Christmas night. So if you don't have anything to do, we encourage you to be part of this. Thank you for your comments and your questions. We do value them.
Yes.
We really do love you guys. We pray for you. Realize this, during the Christmas season, people are all under various levels of stress and not everyone handles it gracefully. And you and I have the opportunity to be a light and a blessing to others around us and shine during the holiday season. Let your light so shine that other men see your good works and they wonder what is so different about that person. And you'll have an opportunity to share Jesus with them. I believe that more of your families coming into the kingdom this year than has ever happened before. I'm in faith with you concerning that very thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget, very special program at Eagle Mountain Church on Sunday at 10 a.m. No Faith Foundations this Sunday. You're going to watch it. Here we go. God loves you.
We love you.
And
Jesus is Lord.
Sunday.
Amen.